You are listening to the weekly podcast of City Church Orlando, located just off of 1792 at 650 Airport Boulevard in Sanford, Florida. Our website, OrlandoCityChurch.com. Today, our guest speaker is John James, formerly with the Christian band The Newsboys. John will be sharing his story of how God rescued him and what we can learn from that to reach out to the world around us. Today's message is entitled Unstoppable Church.
Where else do you want to be made on a Sunday? Than in church. It's awesome. I think you guys are absolutely brilliant. I realize we live in a world that's desperately fighting for our time. There's always 101 things to do, 101 places to be at. I understand your time is so important, it's so valuable. So I honor you in your busy schedules to understand the magnificence, the beauty, but the incredible experience coming together corporately as the church. What a blessing this is. And what a privilege to be able to come to church. It's a privilege to be able to serve and be a part of a thriving, active local church. What a privilege. We should never take for granted this incredible gift of local church community. People from different walks of life, different backgrounds, different nationalities, skin color, but we can all come together as the body of Christ, local church. It's magnificent. I love it. So I want to honor you today for being a part of something bigger than your own world, being a part of a local church. I think that's brilliant. I send greetings from my wife. It's never easy being away from family. This trip, I'm away from my wife for 6 weeks. Actually, since October, I've done 4 trips. This is my 4th trip here. Since October, I've been in your country more than I've been in Australia. God has called me back to your great country. Since October, I've funded it out of my own pocket. $20,000 it's cost me to come and evangelize as a missionary to your country. Because sometimes, you know what, if you really believe in something, sometimes you've got to put your own money where your mouth is. Sometimes you've got to be prepared to put your hand instead of just always waiting for a handout from everyone else. Sometimes you've got to have the guts to say, you know what, if I really believe in this, sometimes it means I'm going to have to put my own hand in my own pocket and sow into something I believe in. When I left your country 12 years ago, I said I'll never go back, ever, ever, never, ever, ever go back to America. Yeah, so much for that. Here I am now. God's called me back to your great country as a missionary. How bizarre is that? You guys have spent billions of dollars, God only knows how many people and lives over decades, sending missionaries to evangelize the corners of the world. You have sown abroad for so long, and now in this time, God is honoring your incredible faithfulness to sow abroad. Now in this country's darkest hour, God is bringing missionaries back to this great nation. I believe America is going to be one of the end times' greatest harvest fields, greatest mission fields on the face of the planet. It is, honestly. Guarantee you. And God is bringing missionaries to your great shores, to your great country, to partner and work with local church. I have no enthusiasm or passion to establish John James Ministries. I understand the legalities for taxes, you have to do that. But mate, like you said, I'm passionate about local church. Local church. You do him no favors, you being here on a Sunday. It's an honor to come to church, privilege to come to church, to be a part of serving, to raise your hand as a volunteer to serve is a privilege and an honor. We never take for granted local church. It's his heartbeat, it's his passion. I'm excited about local church. Hey, let me just encourage you. I've been telling a little story in each of the service, and I got a mate. He wanted to do something for God. This is a true story, a friend of mine back in Australia. He lives out in the middle of nowhere in the outback in Australia. But he wanted to do something for God. And it's not like one day he was just sitting around and he heard a voice from heaven, do A, B, and C, and you will achieve D. He just thought, you know what? I'm a Christian. I want to influence other people with the good news. And he had a heart for youth. So in this little community in the middle of Nowhereville in Australia, there were 250 youth. That's all. Teenagers. Went to a little school there. Found out. Okay, how many teenagers have found out all there? 250. So there's no church in it, all this town, just a pub, farms, few shops, everything. 250 teenagers. He went and rented this little hall. It had this little town dance hall. And he put on a youth thing, like a youth thing, because for something for the kids to do. And he started reaching out. His goal was to reach these 250 kids. Several months ago, he asked me to come out and speak there. I went out there to this little hall in the middle of outback, nowhere in Australia, and jam-packed in this little hall, he had reached and evangelized 250 kids. He led every one of these kids to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Is that awesome or what? It's like you think, you know, the old cliche, you know, can one man or can one woman make a difference? Absolutely, yes. Do you know there's enough people sitting, okay? This is not just motivational spiel 101. There's enough people sitting in this auditorium right now to totally revolutionize this community. And see this community turned around. One guy with just to do something. You know, I meet so many great people who love God, but they're waiting. They're just waiting. I'm like, g'day, how you going? Hello, what are you doing? I'm waiting. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting for God to show me what I'm meant to do. So they wait and they're waiting and they're waiting. So how long have you been waiting? All my life? It's like, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting, you know, for a voice from heaven? Are you waiting for the prophet to come and stand you up and say, thus says the Lord, and tell you what you need? What more do you want? You got the word. He says, you know, he's given us the green light. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, love people, make a difference. What more do you want? And I meet so many good people who are just wasting their lives, flipping, doing absolutely nothing. But they're just waiting, as if it's a big secret, like, sure, it's top secret. One day I will reveal what I want you to do. It's like, mate, you know, from the moment you come to Christ, you have a testimony. From the moment you experience God's love, you have something to offer and give to other people. There's a world waiting out there, you know, those mystical group of people call the lost. You know what? They're not that lost. Just walk out your front door in the morning and you found them. They're not that lost. Anyhow, I thought it was so brilliant. That guy, he inspired me, to do something for God. Just had a vision, wanted to do something. You know, when the Newsboys came to America, we heard no voice from heaven, go to America, start a band. It's like, there was a need. We thought, wouldn't it be brilliant to use music to reach people? So we started the band with a positive message of God's love and just went for it. And in the process of going for it, we discovered more and more of God's purpose and plan. But so many people just waiting. Get out, have a go, mate, like we say in Australia. All right, you ready to come around the word? Oh, but I need to tell you this. Tonight, the men... Who's coming tonight, men? Yeah. Why don't you put your hand up? Nah, sorry, not single in here. Don't worry. Just relax. There's not a room full of people looking right at you right now. Don't be embarrassed. Talk to you later. I'm going to be sharing my whole testimony. The good, the bad, the highs, the lows, coming from an abusive, broken, dysfunctional family, how God was able to get a hold of my life and being a part of one of the biggest Christian bands in the world. But the highs, the lows, at the height of my career, my marriage and my world fell apart. It was a disaster. But God saved me and restored my marriage and my life. This is my whole testimony, but this is what I love the best. The same story, that whole journey in the Newsboys through the eyes of my wife. Because we all know, if you want to know the real truth, you've got to ask the wife, eh? Huh? Magnificent. I get hundreds of emails, hundreds of people saying that this was a great blessing to bring hope. If you know someone in your family, your neighborhood, a work associate, someone who needs hope, or someone who doesn't know God, this is a great tool to put in their hand. The language I use in here is English. Okay, you can put it in the hand of someone who doesn't know God and they'll get this. It's not Christianese. I have them at the outside out there. Please, this is a great way you can help to fund what I'm doing. I'm called to your country as a missionary. but that takes resources. So this is one way that you can help fund me so I can continue. I want to get into schools, seeing incredible open doors of opportunity in your schools here in America. Exciting. So this is a great way you can be a part of funding and helping me to do that in America. Amen. Check it out. Take them all. Don't want to have any when I leave. All right. If you have your Bibles, would you open them, please, to the book of Luke. You ready this morning?
Yeah.
All right. The Word of God, it's alive and it's active and powerful. I thought we'd look at the scripture today. Maybe the Bible, the least read book sometimes in Christian circles. I want to talk to you this morning on the unstoppable church. And that sounds really cliche-ish and a nice anthem, might even make a nice song. But let's make it a little bit more personal today. Can I suggest a church, as you know, is more than just mortar, bricks, roof, lights, multimedia. It's made up of people. We're the lifeblood, the church, God's body of people, right? So if you've got an unstoppable church, it means you're going to have an unstoppable people. An unstoppable church is filled with unstoppable, enthusiastic, passionate people. Great churches just don't happen. We look at great churches and we go, wow, God must have just done all of that. You know what? Great churches, God does breathe on them. But in my experience of following and building anything for God, it's a collaboration between us and God. God has no plan B. He has no emergency backup plan. There's no church in reserve. It's you and I, or the job don't get done. The church is his vehicle to establish his kingdom. The church, filled with just people, not perfect, but people who are passionate and enthusiastic. People who will settle for nothing less, hope I don't offend you, but world domination. What, you think the Muslims are the only ones who have the monopoly on that? Mate, I was there first, Christians, mate. The heart of God, wishing that none should perish. The heart of God, that all would come into the knowledge and the fullness of Jesus Christ. He wants everybody. I don't know about you, but that kind of sounds like world domination to me. The unstoppable church filled with unstoppable people. But you know what? If we're going to be this unstoppable church reaching this community, and we're meant to be this unstoppable people, it's like, crikey, mate, can somebody tell me what I'm meant to do? Because one day we've got to stand before God, eh? And give an account of our life and what we have done with Christ. So I got a brilliant idea. We're going to look at the Bible. We're going to look at the life of Jesus Christ in regards to what we need to do as an unstoppable church, because we're in the people business about reaching people. So if we're going to reach people, let's look at the example of Jesus Christ. Maybe he can give us some inspiration, some insight of how we're going to reach people. After all, surely he knew what he was doing. See, because in Australia, the church is exploding. We've got a revelation down there. The penny's beginning to drop. We got a revelation in Australia that it is so easy to reach the lost. It's ridiculous. It is so easy to reach people out there. The natural DNA of evangelism, of making a difference in the community, should be so natural, should be so easy. We should be so relaxed about it, we don't even need to think. It's just something we do automatically. So let's look at the word today.
Come on, let's go.
Luke chapter 19. Reading from verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was just passing through. A man there by the name of Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, that's Jesus, when he was coming that way. When Jesus reached that spot where Zacchaeus was at, he stopped and he looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Oh, so Zacchaeus came down at once and he welcomed Jesus gladly. Later, all the people saw this and they began to mutter. Oh, can you believe it? He's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus, hearing this, stood up and he said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay them back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, that's Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house. Five keys to what we in this unstoppable church need to be doing. Five keys how we should be living. Five keys that can empower us to realize how easy it is to reach the lost. Point number one, this one's the deepest one, so work with me here. This one will blow you away from this illustration, from the story. Point one, Jesus entered the city. Well, that's deep. God hasn't called the church. He hasn't called you and I to start a lovely, exclusive little club on the outskirts of church. Members only. VIP seating. Special people only. The natural DNA of the church is to be exploding out into the community. Newsflash, people outside the church at the moment aren't really interested in what's going on inside the church on a Sunday morning. They don't really care. We can either spend our lives just waiting and shunderundering and hoping that someday, mystically and magically, they'll just come. They're going to come. Spend your life waiting. We can either spend our life waiting for them to magically come, or we can be prepared to enter the city and go to where the people are at. Be prepared to go leave these four walls and be prepared to go out into the community, into the schools, into the marketplace. Jesus entered the city. He understood the importance of rubbing shoulders, being where the people are at. You've got to be prepared to get out of your world. I'm amazed when I meet so many good church people. And they have this mindset that it's the big, bad, evil world out there. I'm like, brilliant. Isn't it awesome? The darker it is, the greater the opportunity for us to shine brighter than we've ever shone before. Come on. Come on. We got this mindset sometimes. You know that movie, that old movie, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? We have this mindset, honey, I've shrunk God and blown up the devil. It's like the big evil devil, strongholds, demonic principalities. I'm like, mate, are you a Christian? Are you a believer? Or what? My understanding, when we as the church advance, as we go forward, the kingdom of darkness retreats. It's my understanding that as light, we propel darkness. I want to have my foot, the power of the authority of placing your foot in the community. This church is not called to be a lovely little exclusive club somewhere in the community. We are called to be an epicenter of this community, influencing every avenue of this community with the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? God hasn't called us to be a nice little cozy small family. The natural DNA of the church is to grow. That means more people. That means knocking down walls. That means building, building, building. That's exciting. It's awesome. And guess what? You're a part of it. Well, that's why we pay the senior pastor. Yeah, no. His job is to equip and empower you to do the work of the ministry. You do not need a microphone to be in ministry. You do not need a title or a degree or a badge. Pastor, we are all called to be witnesses. We are all called. You might not be an evangelist. My natural gifting, my ascension gift is that of an evangelist. It's all right for you, John James. It's your job. You're an evangelist. We're all called to be witnesses of our faith, because one day we each stand before God and give an account. I don't want to be found wanting. I do not want to hear the Lord say to me, "You lazy, wicked servant." I want to hear the Lord say to me, "Oh, good on you, mate. Well done, you incredibly handsome ball guy." Huh? Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear the wicked, lazy servant thing. Because, guys, face it, come on, we got to take this Christianity seriously. You know, I have an incredible respect for the Muslims in regards to their incredible enthusiasm and passion to spread their gospel. We can learn a few things from them. We bring the good news. Like no other time in history, the world is crying out, would somebody please bring some good news? And while we're busy playing church, we have a community, a society, a nation that is going to an eternity without Christ. But we got multimedia. And we sing Hillsong songs. Jesus entered the city. It says he reached the spot where Zacchaeus was at and he looked up. You got to understand something. This is the Son of God. He's busy, busy, busy. He was passing through places to go. I'm on a time schedule. Crikey, I've only got 3 years and the blighters are going to kill me. I've got to get done. I can't afford these interruptions. I got dead people to raise. Oh, water to walk on at 4:30 today. I got to feed the multitude. Oh, I got a lot on, mate. It said that Jesus was passing through, but he was prepared to stop, put his world on hold. He was going somewhere, but he delayed those plans. Why? To stop for the sake of an individual, a bizarre little man up a tree. Jesus, the Son of God, stopped for the sake of one. The unstoppable church filled with unstoppable people will always take the time to stop for the individual, for one person. We welcome the interruptions of life. We live a life. Daily I wake up looking for those interruptions, those moments when I can stop and connect with the individual, whether it's the checkout girl putting my groceries through, whoever it is, every person, whether it's just a, God bless you, have a nice day. I'm looking for an opportunity to influence somebody with the aroma and the fragrance, what we carry as believers. He stopped. He connected. He didn't look at Zacchaeus and go, all right, you heathen, you dysfunctional, you diseased outcast, you heathen. But it says he connected with him personally by name. Intimately. Zacchaeus, come down. Stand by me. Zacchaeus. He looked at him not as the lost, as the heathen, as the ungodly, as the reject. He looked at him as a person and he treated him with dignity and respect. Those outside the church, they're people. It's not us against them. We're the good guys, they're the bad guys. They're people. And he loves them just as much as he loves you today. Actually, you know what? Sometimes I think maybe he loves them more. You know why? Because they're still lost. Being a father of two daughters, how would I feel if every night I knew one of my daughters was safe and sound in my home, under the protection of my roof, enjoying the benefits of being in Dad's house? But how would I feel if I knew my other daughter, who I love just as much, is out there in the dark and she's lost and she's bleeding and she's messed up and she's broken? How would I feel as a dad? How would it tug on my heart? How much more the heart of God when he looks at his kids out there that are still lost? Some of the greatest prophets, some of the greatest apostles, some of the greatest evangelists, some of the greatest teachers, some of the greatest generals, some of the greatest men and women that the kingdom of God has ever seen are still out there in the pubs and the clubs and the broken relationships, with the needles in their arms, with the alcohol bottles in their hands, with drugs shooting through their veins. Some of the greatest champions that the kingdom of God will ever know are still lost. And what's the catalyst to activate God's purpose and plan for their life? You and I, the local church. This community is waiting for you and I, that our faith is more to us than singing some songs. Our faith to us is more than just filling a seat on a Sunday, but we understand our personal responsibility to build a church. We're in this together. It's a team thing. It's not about, well, they're the pastors, it's their job. No, no, no. It's all of our job. We all have a responsibility to build this house, to serve in this place, to reach this community together. It ain't going to mystically and magically happen unless you and I get passionately committed to the cause, the Great Commission, to reach the lost. He entered the city, point one, where the people were at. Point two, he reached the spot where Zacchaeus was at. He took time to stop for the individual. He connected with him personally by name, with dignity and respect, not as a statistic. If I can lead you to the Lord, I've chalked up another one. No, no, it's a person. They're people. Point three, Jesus took the next step. Not only do I want to connect with you personally, but I want to take this further. So to do that, I have to build relationship with you. He said, I must, not if I can fit it in, not I'll check with my PA, my secretary, and see if there's time in my schedule this week. He says, oh, I'm putting my world on hold. I must come to your house today. Come on, let's have a meal together. I wanna hang with you. I'm amazed. I meet so many good church people and they have no unchurch friends. I don't get that. I really don't. It's like everything they do is and go to is like church, 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 church. All their friends are church, 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 church. It's everything they do is church, 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 church. I'm like, for God's sake, mate, get a life. If you don't have any unchurch friends, join a club. Join an organization. Do something that's going to put you in a circle of people where you can start to build relationship. And here's a novel idea. How about opening up your homes and having them around for dinner? And you know what? Let them enjoy their meal. Don't try to convert them in between the main course and dessert. Build a relationship. Jesus said, I want to take this further. If I'm going to impact you, I want to build relationship. I'm going to spend time with you, because he understood it. If I spend time with you, who I am, what I carry, the aroma, the fragrance that emanates from my life is going to impact you. Point number four. Look at the response of Zacchaeus to this model of evangelism. What was the response from this sinner? This person outside the church, when Jesus expressed his willingness to befriend him, to love him, to build relationship him, when Jesus connected with him as a person with dignity and respect, it says, point four, that Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus gladly. When was the last time we as the church were welcomed gladly in this community? When was the last time those people outside the church welcomed you gladly into their homes to build relationship? We carry the good news. The good news. We're not the bearers of gloom, doom, disaster, woe to me, woe to you, you're going to get it now. I'd rather be somebody that brought a message of hope. The message of the good news of Jesus Christ, the magnificence of the cross of Calvary, that Christ shed his blood for the forgiveness, the sins of humanity. A message that God has a destiny and a future and a magnificent hope for every man, woman, and child. This country needs to have a revelation on the love and the relevance and the heartbeat of God. This country needs to have a revelation of not only God of the first encounter, this country needs a revelation of God of the second chance. There's so many awesome people who have fallen away from God, who have been wounded, hurt, broken, whatever reason, that they've been left on the side of the road bleeding and dying. And so often as the local church, we want to line them up and execute them and shoot them ourselves. God of the second chance. God of the third chance, a God of incredible mercy and grace. Let's be the bringers of good news. Good news. Let's be the ones who in a country that is crying out economic disaster. Let's be a people who rise up as the local church with a message of hope, a message of a future. Well, I get excited about this and I'm Australian. He welcomed Jesus gladly. Now, finally, point number five. What was the outcome of this model of evangelism? Was it worth it for Jesus? He put his world on hold. He went to a sinner's place. He even copped more flack from the religious establishment who were forever hounding him at his model of Christianity. Again, they're saying, what is the form of this guy? He's gone to a sinner's house. His influence on Zacchaeus was so profound that Zacchaeus stood up. You remember what I read? Zacchaeus stood up and said, Lord, look, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay them back four times the amount. And what did Jesus say? He didn't preach a sermon. I didn't have a song session. No Bible study. But he did say this. He said, Today salvation has come to this house. The simplicity of evangelism. It is so easy to reach the lost. It's ridiculous. So easy. As we go out into the community, into the schools, into the workplace, we build relationship with people. We open up our world, our sphere of friends. We invite people in. My wife just emailed it. I spoke to her a week ago on the phone. My wife hates standing on a stage. Give her a mic in her hand, she falls apart. That's not just not her. But she's passionate about influencing people. She spent 1 year meeting this lady who doesn't know God for coffee every week. A year of coffee. That's a flipping lot of coffees. That's a lot of words. Sometimes she actually met her a couple of times for 1 year. Never stepped foot in a church. Nothing. But she reached out to somebody, reached out. 1 year. Didn't Bible badges. Loved on her. Was brought hope and spoke into her life. And after 1 year, she came to church for the first time a week ago or so with my wife and gave her heart to the Lord. Coffee. Build relationship. The simplicity and the power of evangelism. It's so easy to reach the lost. We've got to change our thinking. We've got to change our mindsets. But we also have to have a revelation on our responsibility. And get away from this crazy notion, well, I come to church and I put money in a plate and I do my bit. No. The only thing we can take to heaven with us is our children, our spouses, our family, and those we lead to the Lord. Going to give an account one day, eh? Let's not be found wanting. Let me close with this story. I love this story. It's one of those profound stories that just changed my life. And I got a revelation on the love of God towards people. I was asked to speak at this tent crusade thing in Sydney, Australia. And I was the guest speaker. I felt so important. I had a little name tag on the front seat, little towel, little bottle of water, and even some breath mints. I felt so VIP. I got up to speak. I did my best to entertain them with some sermon. Everyone was seated except for this one young man who nervously paced backwards and forwards at the back. His body language said, I don't want to be here. I'm comfortable being here. I don't even know why I'm here. And as I watched this young man as I spoke, I was drawn to him. And as I observed him, I came to the deduction that this young man's gay. He's a homosexual. Maybe a little bit presumptuous, but as the story goes on, you'll see I was right. So when it came time for the invitation, big word, eh? Basically, it means an opportunity for people to respond to Christ publicly. I thought, wouldn't it be brilliant? Oh, when I gave the invitation, if this young, this gay alien from another planet, because he's not human, you know, he's not a person, he's gay? Would it be awesome if he responded to Christ and gave his heart to the Lord? Oh, and I was able to turn him from his evil, alienistic ways and turn him back into a human being that I find acceptable and I can now love. And then I can go back to my local church and get up on the stage and give a testimony of how God used me while I was away. And, oh, church, I was able to lead a gay man, you know, from Planet Gay. I was able to lead him back to earth, and now he's normal like us. And I'll do it in such a way to give God the glory. But the whole time I'm thinking, yeah, I'm pretty good. Chalk another one up for me. I led a gay alien to the Lord. See, because we ministers, we always have such pure motives all the time, eh? I gave the invitation. This young man never budged. Didn't respond at all. I'm like, doh. I'm off the stage at the end of the night, standing in the front talking to some people. When all of a sudden, I feel a tap on my shoulder. I turn around. Hey, 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 hey. It's this young guy. He's right here in my face. He startled me. I got a fright. And before I could say some beautiful, prepared religious speech, he starts aggressively attacking me verbally, throwing a lot of colourful adjectives at me. Basically what he said, are you one of these judgmental Christians that condemn me because I'm a gay? I'm practicing homosexual. I'm thinking, dude, talk about put me on the spot. At least let me go back to my local church and surely we've got a DVD resource in our church, 101 Ways How to Communicate to a Gay Alien. You know, because they're not people. They're not like us. Something powerful happened to me. I remember having an incredible sense of the presence of God. Deep down in my gut, I felt the Spirit of God just stir up and like a wellspring of life. I remember my eyes filled with tears, and I remember looking at this young man and having a revelation on the heart of God towards people. For God so loved the nice, for God so loved the lovely, for God so loved people who we can accept, for God so loved people we like. No. For God so loved the world, the heart of God towards people. God forbid that we become so regimental and sterile in our quest to reach the lost. They're people. We're in the people business, loving people, being a vessel that God can use to bring love and mercy and forgiveness and grace and help them on that journey of connecting with God. I'm going to preach the gospel with everything I have. And sometimes now and then I might even use words. I said to this young man, mate, can I tell you something? And he's like, yeah, because he's ready for my comeback. He's ready for the debate, the argument. Maybe his only experience with a Christian, the kingdom of God, his only experience maybe with the church is they're the ones who are always the first to pick up the stones. According to our law, you're an abomination and you deserve to be stoned. Maybe his only experience with the church are the ones with the plaques and the banners who protest people like him because they're not human. They're not people. I said to him, mate, can I tell you something? He said, yeah. I said, I don't claim to understand or endorse your lifestyle, but I will tell you this. Several years ago, at the height of my success in the music industry in America, my world fell apart. My marriage fell apart. My wife left me. I lost my career. To deal with the guilt and the shame, I started drinking. Eventually, I was an alcoholic. After a little while, the alcohol just didn't numb the shame and the guilt I felt. So I turned to drugs. I got messed up in cocaine. I'm a cocaine addict. I'm suffering from depression. My world's a mess. I said, mate, I sat there in my mansion in Franklin, Tennessee, just outside of Nashville, with a loaded gun pressed against my head, ready to blow my brains out. I don't have time to tell you the whole story. The men are going to hear some of it tonight. I don't have time to say how my wife just happened to ring from Australia at that exact moment and save my life. You want to hear it? Get the CD, hear my wife's side of it too. I said to that young man, mate, at my darkest hell, at my darkest time in life, I experienced a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of forgiveness, not the God of I told you so. I said, I stand in front of you today, mate, a new person. I've been given a second chance in life. If I know anything about this God, I know this. He ain't here today to judge you or to stone you or condemn you. He's here today with an outstretched hand of love. The message of God. The cross. He wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting that. I said to him, mate, tomorrow morning I'm speaking down the road at this church. It would mean the world to me, mate. Would you come as my special guest? It'd be an honor if you would come as my guest to church. He's like, you're kidding. I said to him, I'm not. The next morning we're in the pastor's office just doing stuff. It's time to come down. The office was set above the stage. The steps from the pastor's office came down and opened on the platform. And then they walked off the platform to the front row. As they started to leave the office, I said, Pastor, do you mind if I just wait for a few moments in your office? I'll be down in a minute. He said, certainly, John. We'll be on the front row. We'll have a seat for you and a seat for your friend, your guest, if he comes. Off they went. As soon as the door closed, I hit the carpet, hit the ground, and just started weeping and weeping and weeping. Not for a statistic. Someone I led to the Lord. The heart of God for his sons and his daughters. The heart of God for your great country, for your children, for the generation of today, for the generation that's coming behind you. The heart of God wishing that none should perish. The love of God. How dare I judge and condemn somebody else? When I look at the grace and the mercy that God has lavished on me, I'm going to bring a message. I'm going to spend my life now, every breath, every day I wake up and I'm alive. I'm not dead. I didn't pull that trigger. I've been given a second chance in life. You've been given a second chance in life, every one of you. God has reached into your world and given you forgiveness and mercy and grace and a future and a hope in his kingdom. God forbid that we selfishly keep what he's done for you and I to ourselves. And the best way we can show God how much we love him is by reaching other people with the love of God and helping to bring them into relationship with God. I'm praying for this young guy. I remember I raised my head while I'm just slobbering and snotting all over his expensive carpet. I raised my head, looked out the window, and at the foot of the driveway coming up to the church, I saw the most beautiful thing. I saw that young man walking up to the front door of the church. When I saw that, you talk about excitement, joy. You talk about enthusiasm. I jumped to my feet. I started shouting and jumping and yelling. I was so excited. I burst out of the office, ran down the steps, and just on the door on the stage, I just burst out of the stage. Everybody just stopped and looked. It's like... I was like, you know, off Seinfeld when Kramer burst into Jerry's apartment every day. It's like, I ran and I jumped off the stage, ran down the middle aisle and out the front door of a church. Everybody's looking like, crikey, what just happened? The visiting ministry's manifested. It's got demons, just ran out of the church like a madman. I run as fast as I can. I run down the driveway. I just run up to this guy. Don't say nothing. Just grab him. Lift him up. I am hugging him. And all I'm saying is, you came to church. You came to church. You came to church. You know what I'm going to say. In hindsight, looking back, one can't help but wonder, at that moment, what was that young guy thinking? We came into church. He didn't want to sit on the front. I don't blame him. We sat at the back, at the back, at the back. If another door had opened up, we would have gone further back. Never heard a word of anything before I got up to speak. The whole service, he's like, what's this? What's this song? Why they raise their hands? Why they do this? What's this bread? What's this wine? What's this body? He was clueless. It was this young man's first time ever stepping foot in a church. And that morning, the great Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, reached magnificently, lovingly, potently, powerfully into that young man's world. And that young man experienced God that morning and gave his heart to Christ, the potency of the presence of God, of the message of God. See, Christianity, the faith we have, can't only be preached about, spoken about, read about, sung about. You have to experience God. You experience His love, His power, His mercy, His grace. We have a community out there that has not experienced the God we serve. Their perception, unfortunately, has been distorted. The perception of the God I know is so different to the God they know. I meet so many people, they say, oh, you're one of those Christians. I'm like, oh, well, I don't know. What sort of Christians have you met? I may be nothing like any other Christian you've met. Oh, you're one of those. Oh, you're one of those. You go to one of those sort of churches. Well, what sort of church have you been to? Let me tell you about the church I go to that's alive and relevant and filled with young people, filled with elderly. It's generational. We see lives that are powerfully being impacted every week. Let me close with this. My time's done. How many Zacchaeuses are in your world? How many Zacchaeuses are in your family? How many Zacchaeuses are in your workplace, in your street? How many Zacchaeuses live right next door to you, across the road? How many Zacchaeuses are in your world that are desperately waiting for you and I to care enough that we're prepared to stop and connect with dignity and respect and open our hearts and our lives, to open our meal table, to reach out to people? It's so easy to reach the lost. It's ridiculous. God is waiting for you today. It has nothing to do with your age. It's nothing to do with your gender, your nationality, the color of your skin. God wants to use you and I today to reach this community. It ain't going to happen unless you and I take the personal responsibility. Don't buy into this notion, well, a revival's coming one day. One day, as long as it's coming one day, guess what? It ain't my responsibility. It's someone else's. We take responsibility today, amen? You take responsibility. This is your great church, your local church. These empty seats are waiting to be filled with the Zacchaeuses that you have brought, that you have reached, that you have influenced. These chairs are waiting to be filled with testimonies of your friends, of your family, of your loved ones, of your enemies, of your neighbors. testimonies of how you stopped in your busy life and reached up and connected with someone and influenced someone for the kingdom of God. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message, Unstoppable Church, with guest speaker John James. For service times and more information about City Church Orlando, please visit our website anytime at orlandocitychurch.com or call 407-321-9600.